This has been a difficult week with the deaths of no less than three parishioners this week. Richard Buckner, among other things, served on a destroyer in the Second World War. Verl Fraser was 5 years old when the second bishop of Toledo, a guy by the name of Samuel Stritch, who had become real famous in Chicago when he became a cardinal, he was 5 years old, Mr. Fraser, when Samuel Stritch, on the 23rd of September, 1928, was at Dore in Olympia, consecrating the original church, to which it was named Little Flower. And another longtime devoted servant, C.C. Roche, died recently. C.C. was the business manager here and really ran the operations. Believe me, there's plenty of priests who think they run the organization. We don't. I'm just being honest. And C.C. was originally brought on board by Father O'Grady. Now, some of us never had the pleasure of meeting Father O'Grady, but all of us know he was beloved and important here because there's a big building that has his name on it. And then C.C. served no less than four different pastors. In addition to Father O'Grady, there was Father Scharf and Father Carnes, Father Steve Carnes, and Father Joe Steinbauer. Just demonstrating how smart and savvy of a person she was, she made sure she was exited before I came. But I'm deeply grateful for the witness of faith that all three of these people have given in their lives as parish family members. And I'm particularly aware that without CC's leadership and commitment, we would not be here today in the way that we are. It would not have happened. Particularly with the debilitating stroke that Father Carnes suffered early in his pastorate and then remaining here for so many years. So I'm just feeling the urge to especially pray for the Buckner, for the Fraser, for the Roche families, and to pray for the souls of Richard and for Verl and for Cece. Eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon them. May they rest in peace. Amen. And may their souls and the souls of all of the faithfully departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen. Amen. When I exited the monastery last Sunday and began my drive home, I called my mom right away and learned that an uncle of mine had died. So my week also included a 30-hour trip to Wisconsin, where I spent more time driving awake than I did anything else. And I'm also aware that our new licensed professional counselor, that Caitlin Dudenhofer, and I know Caitlin is here somewhere, but Caitlin has an uncle who also died this week. And Uncle Joe was Father Joe to many people, a priest in Youngstown, Ohio. So just a heaviness this week and just this moment in our family of faith. When I arrived, I drove first to a northern suburb in Chicago, got in real late on Tuesday night, and I drove into the driveway, and two of my sisters and brother-in-law's five kids were standing in the driveway. They weren't praying, they were just waiting. They were just waiting for their Uncle Dave to pull in. It was just there. And I have to tell you, it was so cute. They knew I was at the monastery. So I park the car, I get out, and I come up to both of them, give them both a hug, and then they both went like this to me, Brother Dave. Katie's in eighth grade and Jimmy's in sixth grade. Oh boy. But the experience of their waiting, expecting me, it made the gospel come alive to me. See, that's exactly what Jesus is telling us to do for him. to be expecting him, to be waiting for him. He says it in ways that might seemingly be strange because they're unfamiliar. Gird your loins and light your lamps, he says. Can I say gird your loins in church? Am I allowed to say that? Well, there's an understanding in the day and time of our Lord with the tunics that were long and they were hiked up a bit so that the knees would be exposed. So suddenly we could go from formal and stiff to ready and mobile and agile. It has to do with being prepared. I have my personal Bible translates this as dressed for action. We might say, roll up your sleeves, pull up your bootstraps, lace your shoes. We might say something like that today, where the exhortation is being made to ready ourselves. To ready ourselves for someone or something that's going to happen. To not sleep through it. That's what Jesus is saying. And of course, there's going to be a final accounting and an ultimate accounting of each and every one of us when every one of us passes into eternity. But there's a twofold meaning to Jesus' exhortation for loins to be girded and lamps to be lit. Because he arrives every single day in our lives. He is continuously breaking into our ordinary experience. And we are to be expecting his arrival. Let me offer two very concrete suggestions as to how we might do this. And let me assure you that I'm speaking to myself in both regards. First, an insight from a contemporary saint, Saint Jose Maria Escriva, who died in 1968. He calls it the heroic minute. And he says, the very first minute of the day, when the alarm goes off, to be intentional in that moment. He says, get out of bed and make an offering to God. Right then and there. And it doesn't have to be wordy. It doesn't have to be long. But it's acknowledging that the day is a gift, that the Lord will be arriving, and I don't want to miss you, Lord, today. Gosh, I find that so hard to do. For some, it's the snooze, right? The snooze which reaches to a point where you say, why didn't I set the alarm later to begin with? Because I've been doing the same thing for 6 months. Although I have to say the temptation for me is a little bit more of, I wonder what happened overnight. I better look at the news feed. You never know. It might be something really important. Even this morning I was tempted. I wonder what Brett Favre said last night. You know? And then I wanted to see how the Indians did against the Yankees. You know, I mean, this is kind of going through my mind. Those are like early thoughts. Which, if I give in to that temptation and I just simply don't have an act of mortification to just simply pray first, here I am, Lord, do with me as you will. If I give in to those impulses, it just leads me into a lackadaisical state, which is probably going to continue on for the day. I didn't give the Lord the first fruits, the first moment, the heroic minute. Father Jose Escriva calls it. Second example. Let's think of Mass. Coming to Mass, to our supreme way of praying. And sometimes we might catch ourselves or we might hear others say, I don't get anything out of it. Well, I know when I approach Mass, just like everything else in life, and I go in with that attitude, that I don't get anything out of it, there's a high likelihood that I am not going to get anything out of it. I'm acting like a petulant child. I was thinking of my parents coming up after sending me to my room to have some opportunity to dial it down a little bit and coming up and saying, okay, you can come out of your room, right? No, I'm not. But that's the attitude. You know, when we say I don't get anything out of it, I mean, do we gird our loins and do we light our lamps when we come to encounter the King of the universe? Are we expecting to meet God, to hear his word, to receive his very presence, body, blood, soul, and divinity, to be inspired and emboldened and lifted up and encouraged and healed through the community that he assembles. Wow, that's a whole different way of coming to church. And I got to work on it too. You know, I notice things and I think administratively or operationally, I got to set that aside. Because I need to encounter the Lord as well. The heroic minute and encountering God at Mass. Girding our loins, lighting our lamps, being prepared, expectant, ready, intending and expecting God to arrive. And assuredly, recognizing his arrival when he does.